Aikman to throw. Calvin Martin, touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 of the Fan. So I started to research this a little bit in the aftermath of the Cowboys Netflix documentary.
Were there sections of that in the games that brought back memories of you?
Yes.
I still remember anticipating the San Francisco games.
Yes.
Being excited about them. I was nervous against Green Bay. You know, like there were, but I was like, no, we're beating San Francisco.
Yeah, and it reset some of my thoughts about certain things. I don't know why I thought that Jimmy said we will win this game about the 92 championship game as opposed to the 93.
Yeah.
And that could have been a product.
I was like, hold on, why'd they leave that out?
Yeah, it could have been a product of like being a kid at the time, but that was really fascinating. So there was a particular thing in there that actually multiple players said, but I thought Deion Sanders like crystallized it right to the point, because Emmett, Aikman, and Irvin, and they were all like, look, we knew how important this game was, and if we could win this game, we could win the Super Bowl. But then Deion just cut right to the chase, and he goes, I think we all knew this was the Super Bowl. And that's the way it felt. I don't necessarily know if it felt exactly that way in 1992, but certainly once 1992 had passed and the Cowboys just annihilated the Bills, there is no question in 93 and then again in 1994 that those were the Super Bowls. Like, it was laughable that the San Diego Chargers were playing in the Super Bowl when everybody knew that it was the Cowboys and 49ers game. That was the real Super Bowl.
It didn't seem like any AFC team had the star power to keep up with the NFC teams either.
I wondered for a time about the Bills.
And obviously,
when they started to lose, it just was like, yeah.
They kind of lost that sizzle for them. And I know Jim Kelly in it. He's like, I wanted to go back. You know, as soon as it was over, I wanted to be back. You know, like, I don't know how many people could mentally go through that. That hurdle of,
right,
dude, we cannot win. And it doesn't matter who the opponent is,
right,
this game in particular.
So I started to think about this more and more. Do you feel like people in the history of the NFL properly appreciate the 49ers and the Cowboys? Because,
well, here's the thing.
I might be about to present a case to you.
I lived it. So I'm biased.
Okay.
And all the people that I know and care about and love, they lived it with me too. So we are biased about it. So
right.
I would say that I think it does. And that specific time period changed the NFL.
Yes.
I mean, not just what Jerry Jones did as a trailblazer, but like that changed what the NFL, it launched it into a different stratosphere in that specific 90s era.
And that is around the time when there could be no question that this was the sport in North America. Now, you could argue that it had happened before that, but with labor stoppages in the previous decade, we don't need to go back through all that, I guess.
The Super Bowl in that time period, go back to the Michael Jackson moment when he jumps up on that stage and stands there for 20 minutes and everybody still never stops cheering. It just felt like it was a star era.
Yeah.
I don't think that it had been associated the same way. Maybe that's just me not understanding in the 80s and earlier on how it was, but it was a different show at that time.
Do you feel like people acknowledge and properly appreciate, for example, like the Bears and the Packers?
Which the Bears, the 84 Bears?
No, just like as a rivalry.
Yeah, I think so.
Cowboys,
plus that's a Northeast thing.
Cowboys and Eagles?
I
feel like people accept that. Maybe more modernly, Ravens and Steelers.
Yep.
I feel like that gets talked a lot about. But I did some research. What do you think is the most two teams have played each other in a conference championship game? Like, over the history of conference championship games in the Super Bowl era, what do you think is the most? I don't even need the matchup. Just like the most times the same two teams have played each other.
I want to say 34 just to see your
face.
That
is way too many.
Six.
All right. Woo. Look at you. Spot on. It's six for Cowboys and 49ers. The next highest is three.
Wow.
All right. So think about this.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's wild. So take a look.
And I don't. And when you asked the question, all I thought about was that 90s section. I wasn't even thinking about the catch and all the stuff that I didn't, and I that didn't might, watch.
And that is surely one of the most iconic moments in the history of the NFL. And that's not even what jumps to the front of your mind. Yeah. And that shows how deep that is. All right. So go to the AFC. Kansas City and Buffalo. They play all the time in the championship game, right? Three times. Chiefs are up 2-1. Colts and the Patriots. Oh, my God. Those teams are always playing in the championship. Like eight times. Three times. And only two of those were Peyton against Brady. Now, Peyton against Brady did play two other times with the Broncos. But, like, still not the same team. Browns and the Broncos. Three times. Broncos won all three. But guess what? They went on to lose all three of those Super Bowls. The most equivalent I could find was 74 through 76, the Raiders and the Steelers. The Steelers won two of the three, and the winner all three times went on to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
But outside of that, that's it. Their shared history is dominating the 70s. Now let's go to the NFC.
And of those six games, the winner is 6-0 in the Super Bowl of the Cowboys series. Did you have that already?
Yeah, No. But yeah. We were going to get to that. And then think about this. It's a little tricky with the Cowboys and the Packers because those first two games were NFL championship games, not NFC championship games. Mm-hmm. But if you count those, the second most common matchup is the Cowboys and the Packers. If you don't, no other NFC championship matchup has happened more than twice. Twice! And the 49ers and the Cowboys have played six times in the NFC championship game.
Just imagine how many more times they could have met in the NFC championship game if the Niners hadn't eliminated the Cowboys earlier.
That's a great point.
And I say that because the 2000s haven't been kind.
No, absolutely. And you know what? Here's a great example of that. They played in, I think you'll notice a pattern here, 70, 71, 81, 92, 93, 94. So essentially, you would get these games, give them a decade, and they would pick it back up. So if the Cowboys had been in any of these games, surely we would be back up to 8, 9.
I say 10.
Maybe so. So take a look at 70 and 70 for 70 and 71. 71, the Cowboys won that game. I actually think the first matchup between Cowboys and 49ers, the team that won that did not win. So okay. I think they're 5-1 in those Super Bowls. But yeah, so the Cowboys, that first time they matched up, they win the game, make their first Super Bowl. Next year, Cowboys win their first Super Bowl. The next game, you get maybe the most iconic play in the history of NFL football, and then 92, 93, and 94 were all de facto Super Bowl years where the team that won, I think, went on to win the Super Bowl by, let's try to do some quick math, what, an average of like 28 points?
Yeah.
All three of the closest Super Bowl following Cowboys 49ers was 17 points. That was the closest margin of victory.
Those are runaways, man. Like in that game specifically, that's a runaway.
Yes.
You know, 17 points is still a big victory, but in the Super Bowl, you're expecting. These are the two best teams from each side of the NFL.
Yes. And so from the 903, Cowboys Niners is criminally underrated as a rivalry. And that's what I think of too, because whether it was, you know, Everson Walls and Danny White going up against Joe Montana, whether you go back to the 70s or obviously in the 90s, kind of like right when we were really becoming sports fans, you could feel like you could name like 15 people off of those teams. I just wanted to throw that out there that when I was watching that documentary, what really struck me is I feel like Cowboys 49ers should be mentioned more frequently at the top or near the top of all-time NFL rivalries.
Do you think they aren't for two reasons? One, oversaturation of Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Two,
that is an interesting.
They haven't been good in the last 30 years, and people are just like, oh, yeah.
Okay.
And so they don't want to give any credit to this 30-year span where you're like, it could be better, but.
So I had two reasons, and one of them was the same as yours of Cowboys haven't been good, like really good in a long time. The oversaturation one is a really interesting part because I guess the counter argument to this would be like, well, for God's sakes, you get the Eagles and probably the Commanders rivalry. Isn't that enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe so. But the other one, go ahead.
The oversaturation part, like Broadus yesterday was talking about, I lived in Green Bay for 6 years of my life.
Yeah.
It's not Dallas.
Right.
I mean, Craig James just pointed out, like, right. It's not Dallas. He was like, the thing that you get from here, this is in regards to Micah, and Micah knows this, is I can go to Green Bay and I might have that Red Lobster and the cheddar biscuits, but it's not where I am in Dallas and I have a career after football. You know, like that's the, and that is the oversaturation, is that most of these guys know it's talked about the most on, Kevin, think about that, dude. On the Fox pregames, on the CBS pregames, they talk about the Cowboys even when the Cowboys aren't playing.
Yes, absolutely. I wonder if these two teams were like division rivals, if it would rock it back up. So it's a rarer matchup. And I know people talk about it, but I think it should be higher up on the list. Like if you look at the historical way that Super Bowls have been won, more of them have gone through the Dallas-San Francisco matchup by far than anybody else. Like, no one's played more than three times in the AFC. No one's played more than three times in the NFC, except for this matchup. And so I just wanted to present a walk down memory road and a case that this should be higher on the list.
I appreciate that. From the 214, we lost to damn Jimmy G. That killed the rival.
You know what? I know that has been a sticking point with Mike for some time. Now, Kevin Walker, I'm going to start with you on this. If you had to guess, how much money will be legally wagered on NFL football this year?
Legally is important.
Yes, it is.
I would say, am I crazy to say bees? I'm going to say $3
billion. Okay, $3 billion. Corey, legally wagered money on NFL.
How much did he say?
$3
billion. Ah, you're low.
He's going to say $3 billion and $1, and you're going to dislike him.
$50 billion.
Woo! Now, that is too high. But that's because I said legal.
Yeah.
NFL bettors, you're going to like this then. NFL bettors are expected to wager $30 billion on NFL football this season. So when you ask, are you crazy to go with a B? I wanted to tell you definitely not. So think about it. You asked, is it crazy to say $3 billion? It is 10 times that amount. And that is for legal wagers, because as much as sports gambling has become accepted across the United States, except here in Texas, there are plenty of other not legal bets that take place, which I wonder how close that would get you to the $50 billion mark, or certainly at least the $40 billion mark. But just think about that. $30 billion. We'll get wagered on NFL football this year.
And, that's not even college football.
No. Yes. Man. And that does not even factor in all aspects of daily fantasy, because those get compartmentalized differently.
Just think what y'all could do with all that money that you're gambling away. All I'm saying is you could donate that money to Peace of Thon.
Yeah.
Like all you got to do is go there. We'll have a link up and you can click on it and donate cash.
You know what? That's a great. I want to see
$30 billion.
I'm going to go see if I can seek out a breakdown. I don't know if there's any way they would have this information, but I want to know like what percentage of gamblers bet like at least $10,000. You know, because I kind of want to see like what chunk of that money comes from people who are like, yeah, that's neat. I donate lots of money to charity, but I also have all this other money too, so don't worry about it. Versus all the people who are like,
good point.
Every weekend I put $10 down on this, that, and the other.
Gotta get my juice.
Yeah, I want to see what that breakdown looks like.
I saw a video this morning, Kevin. I know we're a little late here, but I saw a video of a guy who was talking to his wife about his cards that he was wanting to collect.
Okay, yeah.
And he was like, but think I use these cards. I just did the stairs with it. I sell them and I do the. His joy comes from opening the packs, seeing what's inside, potentially hitting the big one.
Right.
And then her joy is spending the money that he gets off of them. And he's willing. He's like, that's fine. I'll spend the money on it. I got to get the juice. And that's gambling's the same thing.
This is a weird way to compare it to like when you were a kid. I still to this day and probably will always appreciate more buying a box, buying a pack, whatever, and pulling that card I want as opposed to ordering it off of eBay. The same way, if you bought like a cassette or a CD, that's cool. But back in the day, if you could get that record going for the song that you requested at just the right time, that's a feeling that like that's tough to match, yeah, you know? Same kind of theory. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's go to Jake's in Frisco to chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Next right here on The Fan.